It is lovely to be with you this morning. It doesn't matter whether it's sunny or rainy, it's always lovely to start Sunday here. Although I know Brian has already started Sunday at St. Peter's. Well done, Brian. Anyway, this is the 13th Sunday after Trinity. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And
And
our
our mouths
mouths
shall
shall proclaim
proclaim your
your
praise.
praise.
In your resurrection, O Christ, let
Let
heaven
heaven
and
and
earth
earth
rejoice.
rejoice.
Gracious God, oh dear, I can see that something hasn't been removed since the last 13th. We're going to skip to the collect. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And this morning we're going to read Canticle 67, a song of repentance. And we start off by saying the refrain together. Tell
Tell
the
the
good
good
news
news
of
of Jesus
Jesus
the
the Christ
Christ
to
to
all
all
who
who
are
are
searching
searching
for
for
redemption.
redemption.
This is the message we have heard from Christ and proclaim to you, that God is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, cleanses us from all our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, the one who is faithful and just will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to
Glory
the
to the
Father,
Father,
and
and
to
to
the
the
Son,
Son,
and
and
to
to
the
the Holy
Holy Spirit,
Spirit,
as
as
it
it
was
was
in
in
the
the
beginning,
beginning,
is
is
now,
now,
and
and
shall
shall be
be forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Tell
Tell
the
the
good
good
news
news
of
of the
Jesus
Jesus
the
the
Christ
Christ
to
to
all
all
who
who
are
are
searching
searching
for
for redemption.
redemption. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. God of us all, we gather together to worship you with gladness. We pray together for our world with hope. We sing together to celebrate your faithfulness with joy. We listen to your word together with eagerness. We give thanks together for your love with gratitude. And we follow your Son together with faith.
The first reading is from Romans chapter 12, starting to read at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning, a verse is from Psalm 26. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Lord, I love the place where your glory abides. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have walked with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is before my eyes. I have walked in your truth. I have not joined the company of the false, nor consorted with the deceitful. Lord, I love the place where your glory abides. I hate the gathering of evildoers, and I will not sit down with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go about your altar, to make heard the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house of your habitation and the place where your glory abides. Lord, I love the place where your glory abides. Have mercy on us and redeem us, O Lord, for our merits are your mercies, and in your judgment is our salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 16, starting to read at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we all know, although we don't like to talk about it, sooner or later, all of us must face something that seems difficult and unbearable. There is no escape. Terrible things happen while the sun shines. When we face calamity, other people carry on as normal, unaware of our own grief and trauma. The clock doesn't stop. Life goes on. Last week's gospel reading left us on a spiritual high. Peter had just made his declaration about Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what did you imagine would follow? falling at Jesus' feet in worship, a group hug, high fives and whoops all round, a party, comfortable companionship between friends. As Matthew describes the scene, Jesus has just praised and blessed Peter for recognizing him as the Messiah. "You are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And now Jesus begins to explain to his disciples what being the Messiah actually means, and what the Messiah must undergo. The Messiah must suffer. He will suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, the religious elite. And then he will be executed, and 3 days later, he will be raised from the dead. Now, can you imagine what Jesus' disciples thought when they heard these words? It's all right for us. We know the story. We know the message of Easter. But the disciples didn't. We may be used to seeing crosses in our churches or wearing them round our necks, but the disciples weren't. For them, the cross was a terrifying thing. Death by crucifixion was the most cruel and gruesome punishment. What could Jesus possibly be saying? After all, the disciples had given up everything to follow Jesus. The Messiah surely would lead them into battle to defeat their Roman enemies. They had seen how Jesus could draw a crowd. They had seen his extraordinary powers. They had heard him proclaim that the kingdom of God is here and now. Jesus was their champion. Jesus was their liberator. Jesus was all they had longed for and all that they had hoped for. So what could be more ridiculous than to hear Jesus say plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things? Necessary? Surely going to Jerusalem was to be avoided. Why would Jesus willingly give himself over to suffer severe physical pain, humiliation, and disgrace? Why would he give up and give in without a fight? No wonder Peter jumps in. He's appalled. Peter tries to deflect Jesus from the path that lies ahead. Having victoriously and gloriously declared Jesus to be the Messiah, Peter cannot contemplate Jesus' talk of suffering and surrender. It's just inconceivable. No wonder Peter rebukes Jesus for saying such things. But Peter didn't really understand Jesus at all. To understand Jesus is to understand suffering and the way of the cross. The Messiah Peter had dreamt of was triumphant, victorious, unscathed by vulnerable humanity and suffering. Jesus puts Peter in his place with a stinging reply. "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." Then he says these words to his disciples. "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." I don't know about you, but I find these words deeply, deeply challenging. What exactly is Jesus saying to his disciples? What is he saying to me? What does it mean to deny myself and to give up my own way? I suspect that Jesus' call to those of us who are his followers is to stop clutching at this life so desperately. to give up some of my rights and to relax my desire for self-preservation. I suspect that Jesus is asking us to willingly set aside our own interests, our own agendas, and our own liberties. I suspect Jesus is asking his disciples to make space and time to focus on the greatest commandments, to love God and to love our neighbours as ourselves. We are called to stand alongside those who weep, who cry out in pain, who suffer, who die. And it is about realizing that we too will die. And given that our death is inevitable, just as Jesus's was, how are we going to spend this brief time on earth? As I say, every time I take a funeral service, give us the wisdom and grace to use aright the time that is left to us here on earth, to turn to Christ and follow in his steps in the way that leads to everlasting life. Jesus came to give us abundant life, life in all its fullness. That life is to be found not in self-protection and preservation, but in vulnerability, weeping with those who weep, mourning with those who mourn. We are called to walk the same path Jesus walked as he carried his cross. It is the road that leads to death and through death. It is the only road that leads to eternal life. Jesus did this willingly. He chose to be the victim. He chose to be the sacrifice. His message was one of love, grace, mercy, and freedom. And he never changed his message, even though it cost him his life. He never stopped loving all the way to the end. I am guessing that one of the reasons Jesus told Peter off so harshly was because what Peter was saying was so tempting. You don't have to do it the hard way. You don't have to take this faith thing so seriously. You don't have to suffer, and you don't have to die. And of course, we don't. It's our choice. For plenty of people, Christianity is a spectator sport. But that's not what being a disciple is all about. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. It's up to us to decide. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Creator and Redeemer, we find it difficult to know how to pray when we see so much suffering throughout our world. Yet, Lord, we hold on to your promise that evil will not prevail against us, that you will deliver us from the wicked and the ruthless. You call us, Lord, to turn to you, to be faithful and obedient, that your will may be done in our lives. So help us to be the answer to our own prayers, to make a difference where we are, with the people you give us to share our life with. May we hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Help us to rejoice in hope, to be patient in suffering, and to persevere in prayer. Lead us into opportunities to contribute to the needs of your people, to extend hospitality to strangers, and to live in harmony with one another. We bring before you situations in our world where harmony is lacking. We pray for wisdom to prevail among the leaders of nations and for those working for the benefit of others, that they may find protection and courage to stand up for those with no voice of their own. We think of people closer to home who are suffering in many ways and who find it hard to forgive those who have caused their pain. We pray for those who are unwell, for Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Mary, Keith, Janice, Joy, Peter, Rosemary, Shirley, Emily, Steve, Henrietta, Mandy, Will, Muriel, Bob, and Jeffrey. And we also pray for the family and friends of those who have died recently. Betty Kitchen, Kate Barlow, Winifred Ellsworthy, and Stephen Mitchell. The Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen us with his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And may God bless us and keep us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for your company this morning. I hope you have a great day and can enjoy the sunshine. Next week, I think I'm here with Jackie, who will be back from Scotland. Right. And we'll be leading the service together next Sunday morning. Thank you, Steve, for joining us. It's good to see you so much better, as somebody has already said. And have a great day. And thank you for being a fellow disciple on the road. See you next week. Bye-bye. God bless.